Hello, everybody. I'm Radio Johnny, and you are listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP 90.3 FM in Moscow, Pullman. Recovery Radio is an outreach of Latah and Whitman Recovery Community Centers. You can find them on the web at latahrecoverycenter.org and on Facebook. The Latah Recovery Community Center is located at 531 South Main Street in Moscow, and you can contact the LRC by phone at 208-883-1045 or by email at latahrecoverycenter@gmail.com. Their hours are 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. The Whitman Recovery Community Center is located at 226 East Main Street in Pullman, and you can contact the WRC by phone at 509-715-1111 or by email at wrccprogrammanager@gmail.com. And their hours are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Recovery Radio's purpose is to share with our community how addiction and behavioral health disorders affect us all and how we deal with them. We also share the personal stories of people in and around recovery, highlighting their experience, insight, and hope for continuing recovery. Like I said before, I am Radio Johnny, and I am here in the studio slash conference room with Denise Miller. Hi, Denise.
Hi, Johnny. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm glad everyone could join us today.
Yes, we can hope. We can hope they'll stay there, too.
Yes.
Hey, I want to touch on the calendar. I haven't been announcing it much lately, but we're in a new year, so I'm going to try something new. Let's see, for the week coming up, starting on Sunday, 9:30, there's an AA meeting at the Campus Christian Center, also known as The Center, also known as Our Place. They keep shifting the name on it, but that's at 9:30 in the morning. Come on down. Mondays at 12, there's an AA meeting here at the Recovery Center. 5:30, there's a men's AA meeting. And at 7 o'clock, the NA meeting. Let's see, Tuesday the 13th, therapy tools from 11 to 11:45. I don't know much about that, but it sounds interesting. You know anything about it?
I do, but it's not every Thursday, and I'm...
Yeah, I think
I'm hoping that she is back on schedule this month because last month she wasn't here, and I'm guessing that was because of the holidays. So.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll hope.
But it was really good. Yeah, it was really good.
And also on the 13th at 3:45 is our board meeting for the LRC. The public is invited to attend, so come on down and find out what's going on. Again, 7 o'clock and for the rest of the week is the Narcotics Anonymous meeting. Wednesday, the 14th, 12 o'clock, all recovery meeting. And from 4 to 5, the RAP group will meet at the 1912 Center. And Thursday at 12 o'clock AA again and NA at 7. Friday, 12 o'clock AA, 7 o'clock NA, and 8 o'clock there's an Al-Anon meeting. And Saturday at noon AA again and 7 o'clock NA again. And that's, you know, repeats pretty much similarly. You can go on to the LatahRecoveryCenter.org website and look at the calendar there. You can even upload it to your own personal calendar, and that'll be cool and fun.
Yeah, I just want to also add Thursdays from 5 to 8, we have game night here. There's pizza involved and board games and fellowship, so that's a nice time too.
Awesome. It's not on there, though, is it?
It is for the 8th. I'm not sure why it's not on here every single Thursday. I'll have to investigate that. Yeah, as far as I know, all of last year, it was every single Thursday.
We'll have to get after the calendar person and find out what the heck's going on. Mm. What the heck?
And I'm multitask right now.
There you go. All righty. So today, we don't have a guest in the studio. I will tell you that next week, I believe, well... We'll have to wait and see. So I'll hold off on that. But we're going to eventually, sometime this month, get with Dina. We'll be getting together with Dina and talking about process addiction, which sounded really interesting to me when I was chatting with her the other day. So today, we're going to spin the big wheel. I found a huge list online of different, they're calling it group topics, but I call it radio topics because there's a lot of good ones there.
Multitasking.
And I saw a couple of them. What did you see that tickled your fancy there?
So I thought the open-mindedness is something that's good when you're in recovery. One was a good one to talk about. Toxic gossiping in treatment.
Ooh.
Well, and so I think it's just toxic gossiping because, you know.
Yeah.
We're not in treatment, but we are in recovery.
That's right.
SMART goals and grief and loss. And then coping with anxiety were like some, it's a really good list, but those were some things that I kind of
really
like
jumped out at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were some on here that I saw like risk taking, mm-hmm. Self-sabotage. Boy, you can see where I'm going with this, but I think, you know, open-mindedness, that's a good one. And I'll tell you why I think so. One of the three pillars of AA is honesty, willingness, and open-mindedness. And when you get into recovery, depending on what path you want to take, I mean, you're in recovery when you say, and there's a lot of different paths people like to take. In my case, I went for the AA program. And all they asked me to do was, you know, be open-minded about these things we're talking about, you know, the higher power, building a relationship with a higher power. That seemed like kind of a stretch to me, but they said, if you just keep an open mind, something will come of it. So you'll hear something that you'll be able to relate to. And also my thought was, you know, by the time I got to recovery, I was at that point where I couldn't see life with or without alcohol. So I had to be open-minded that I could have not just stay alive and not drink, but actually have a happy life, an enjoyable life without alcohol, because honestly, I couldn't see that anymore. I was stuck in this tunnel with no way out, and it was having that open-mindedness to say, okay, they say things can get better. I'll hang around and see if they're telling me the truth or lying to me. And we'll go from there. Mm-hmm. You know, not just instantly going, oh, this isn't going to work for me. Honestly, I didn't know if it would work for me. I had seen it work for other people. I had seen it work for my mother. So I had some hope, but I still wasn't convinced. What are your thoughts on that?
So I was just going to say that I looked up a little definition, kind of just to, you know, kind of frame it a little bit. It says open-mindedness is the willingness to listen, consider, and learn from other ideas, perspectives, or experiences that are different from your own without immediately judging or dismissing them. And I just think that, again, you know, as we enter into recovery, we're doing something different. And having an open mind to looking around and seeing what kinds of things might work for you or different perspectives and stuff can be really valuable.
Yeah.
You know, for people who've gone into different kinds of groups, whether that would be in or out patient kinds of stuff or NA or AA, you know, just being able to sit in the room for a little bit and consider what people are saying, what they're sharing. You know, and of course you can share what your experience is, you know, happening in your life right then. But I think that is one of the best parts of small groups that I see, that I enjoy so much, is being able to have the ability to all sit together and hear what other people say, you know, and having an open right. mind to realizing that there's a lot of different ways to go about recovery and supports that you can put in your recovery, and just little kinds of things that people wind up saying that just kind of click, and I go, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I get
you
that.
Know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I still have little groups. I have like me and three that I go to once a week with my two good gal friends, and I get to hear the different kinds of things that are going on in their lives and what they're doing. And that's just really cool because, you know, there's some things that they're working on that I want to eventually do as well. It brings a lot of hope.
Right. Right. And I think a key word you threw out there, perspective.
Yeah.
When I came in, a man told me that your perspective is so narrow, it's like you have blinders on at this point. Mm-hmm. All I could see in the beginning was, don't drink, don't drink. Sure, sure. And I didn't realize that that's not even the point of AA. The point of AA is learning to live life on life's terms. You know, living life by working a spiritual program of action. And my perspective was so limited at that point that, you know, the old expression, I couldn't get out of my own way. I was just locked into this narrow, like I said, a tunnel. And by being open-minded enough to listen to people and not just write them off instantly as being idiots because they didn't see it my way. Yeah, I mean, perspective, being willing to listen to somebody else's perspective is really key. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you don't accept it right away, you know, people in AA say to people that are new, you're probably not going to get all of this or agree with all of it, but take what you need and leave the rest on the shelf. You can always come back and get it later. You know, it's like going down the line at a cafeteria, you know. If you don't, the Jell-O looks sketchy or you don't want the tuna salad, you know, skip it this time and take something you need or something you like and come back. And when you come back tomorrow, maybe mm-hmm. the Jell-O looks better or the tuna salad or whatever. So, yeah, the perspective, that's a big thing. Let's see, what's another one you touched on?
So I think the next one down from that was like toxic gossiping.
Oh.
And I mean, that one's kind of sort of self-explanatory, but
right.
I think one of the really cool things that's happened in recovery is this. I'm typically working on like being aware of what I'm doing.
Right.
And circling back around when I need to change something or apologize or have a conversation. And I'm not as worried about what other people are doing.
Right.
That's actually really helpful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I just think that there's been a big switch in my life about not worrying about, quote, fixing other people or doing all these things for other people to make myself feel good, because that really didn't have the best intentions behind it anyways. It was kind of, you know, self-gratifying or whatever. I mean, people may look at people who are doing that and think, oh, what a nice person. But really, it's because I was avoiding my own stuff, you know?
Right.
So in a healthy way, I'm able to show up for people and make commitments that behind it is just the genuine wanting to be of help to someone.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's a good thing to do. And I like doing that. Not because I'm trying to feel better or avoid something.
Right. Right. I had a friend who explained it fairly brilliantly. Talking about when we're upset with somebody, usually it means there's something within us that needs to be looked at. But so we're supposed to pray for that person, you know, that mm-hmm. they have everything we want. And unfortunately, sometimes when we want to keep control, we'll pray to God and say, you know, God, this person is problematic to me. So they either need to die, go away, or, you know, come crawling back to me mm-hmm. on their knees and apologize for being how they are. That's mm-hmm. a list for Santa Claus.
Yeah.
You know, it's still us trying to maintain control. In control.
Do you know what a really good prayer I found out works pretty good?
What's that?
So when I pray and I say, Lord, I'm really upset about this conversation or this situation. Can you please show me what my part is?
Right.
Even if it's just a little part, and then I go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And usually when I receive that, it's pretty gentle and I'm just like, oh, and then I feel better.
Right.
And then I can go show up in my part, whether that's apologizing or understanding like a different perspective as to like where they were coming from or whatever. But overall, it winds up healing in some kind of a way the relationship better, or at least how I feel. You know?
Right, right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Because sometimes we just don't realize our part and stuff.
Right.
And it's not like we just wake up in the morning and go, oh, I just think I'll wake up and I'll go and be a butthead to this person and this person and just really mess with their day. That's not,
right.
You know, sometimes we're just unaware.
It's
you
not
know?
Usually on my list, but I get around to it. Yeah. No,
it's usually accidental, unintentional. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the gossip end of it.
Yes. That's, you know, what we were
talking
about.
That's another way to look down at people. Mm-hmm. And usually, you know, gossip I have found is like 2% truth and 98% conjecture on somebody's part. Oh, did you see her? And I'm using a female example because I'm familiar with them, but men are just as bad. You know, oh, you know, that woman over there, she's, you know, she goes out with everybody, you know, and she's loose and, you know, whatever. And how can you actually know this stuff? Why? Did you go out with her?
And there's no point saying something unkind like that.
Right, exactly.
Just worry about what you're doing. Are you living in your values and morals?
Right, right. Yeah. I had somebody try to trap me into to making a judgment on somebody based on their feelings and the way they represented what the relationship they had with this person was. The relationship was over. And the best thing I could do is just keep asking that person, well, how does this affect your sobriety? Mm-hmm. Because I could see that they were trying to reel me in, mm-hmm. you know, trying to...
Oh, was it like a take sides kind of a thing?
Yeah, take sides sort of a thing. And, you know, it's not my place to take sides or adopt one person or the other person's feeling. Oh, and Denise, you just stumbled across something, an event or thing coming up here?
So I just wanted to mention that I just had confirmed that we do have game night from 5 to 6 every Thursday of the month of January moving forward.
Oh, cool, cool.
Yeah, it was just off the calendar for holidays because we had Christmas and New Year's, and we only had limited hours on those couple of days.
Right, so when they redid the calendar, they copied it.
It just got forgotten. Yeah, but it's added on and we're good to go.
Okay,
and then one other thing that was shared with me is called Oasis Cafe, and it is affiliated with Overeaters Anonymous, and they're meeting Mondays at 7 p.m. in Pullman. It's 1123 Northeast Stadium Way in Pullman, and it is at Church of Christ, and it says come join us for recovery and fellowship.
Perfect.
Yeah.
OA.
And of course you can always call here at the recovery center to get if you have any questions about that, we can connect you, or if you want to call over to Church of Christ, I'm sure they can answer questions as well.
Right
Yeah.
And a lot of those Pullman events you can pick up from the Whitman Recovery Center too, so you can always call them.
So all of our everyone that's on our email list gets all of these flyers that come through a few times a month, and they'll have all the different kinds of things in the area that are going on.
That's right. And all you have to do to get on that is send an email to latarecoverycenter@gmail.com and say, hey, put me on your mailing list, and you'll get it.
You will, and they're just beautiful flyers of the different events that we have going on, and then also our monthly calendar that comes out at the beginning of the month, and that'll really just help keep you connected to the different kinds of resources going on in the community that you can attend or share with your family and friends.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Next one. Let's look here.
Yeah. What do you like?
I like risk-taking. Obviously, the way I drank was risky. I never knew what was going to happen once I started drinking, how much I was going to drink, what I would say, what would happen. Would I get my car? Oh, absolutely. And so many of those things, you know, and I think about my brothers and sisters who are addicted to narcotics. You know, every time they pick up a batch of dope today in this day and age, you know, there's probably going to be fentanyl in it. But will it be a lethal dose? Who knows?
Doesn't take much.
It doesn't take much at all. And then, you know, just the other things, you know, men will risk, and women too, risk relationships, you know, going out and during addiction and finding somebody who understands, you know, how they're feeling and whatnot, and, you know, can ruin marriages, you know, friendly relations, all sorts of things. But there's a flip side to that too. And, you know, the risk of getting into AA or going to, not CR, but, what do you call it? I keep forgetting what you call it.
Restoration night.
Restoration night. the risk of filling out a job application and making sure you're doing it right, or creating a resume. All those things are risks. And, you know, it depends on how we manage them. I mean, it's risky getting in a car. It's far dangerous than getting in an airplane. But when those go down, there's big news about it. So everyone freaks out. But there's going to be half a dozen fender benders and minor accidents in this town today.
Yep.
So but we don't think about that as being a big risk.
Mm-hmm. So I actually have a challenge for people listening. I challenge you, or whoever's listening, to look up some stories about people who failed a bunch before they succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some amazing stories about people who, you know, had to try 100 times or 200 times or whatever it took to be able to succeed. And that there's so much that can be learned through failing. You know, and yeah, so there's some risk taking involved in that, and it can really be a beneficial thing. I think, in some ways, our culture, you know, like frowns with failing, and there's like connotations that it's just like, oh no, don't ever fail, don't try that.
Right.
But really, it's not a bad thing. It can really develop your character, and a lot of other, you know, really life changing things that will help you move past that and feel more comfortable in that. You know, well, taking good risks.
And when you take a risk, I like the phrase calculated risk.
Yeah, I mean, I do wouldn't, too. That's good.
I wouldn't grab all my money out of my retirement right now and start a pizza joint because somebody said you can make money making pizza.
Right. Yeah,
you know, that might be a risk that, you know, I wouldn't be willing to take. But if somebody came to me and said, hey, Radio Johnny, we want you to help us open up a recovery house. Mm-hmm. Well, I have some experience with that. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it would be successful.
But there could be a team of people involved.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But I probably would be willing to take that risk. And if it failed, I would know what not to do next time if that opportunity came up again.
Yeah.
I think they talk about Thomas Edison tried like 100 different filaments before he found the one that would work in his light bulb. And they asked him, aren't you disappointed with all those failures? And he said, no, now I know 99 things that don't work.
Right.
So yeah, it, you know, taking a risk, like I said, there's a flip side to there's a difference between bad risk taking and good risk taking.
I think your example of like the choices that we used to make in addiction, those were bad risks that we were up against, you know, versus the kinds of risk taking, you know, that are good things to try to. Yeah,
that's right. And drive 100 miles an hour sometime. It's a gas, but only where it's safe to do so. Like a racetrack.
I don't endorse that. Yes,
or
a
Highway 26 on that big downhill run outside Othello. Anyway,
Radio Johnny's a fun person, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I keep telling my younger daughter, because she really likes the idea of having a motorcycle, and she does know that she's not going to be able to have one while she's, you know, under 18 and things like that. I keep telling her like dirt bike, you know, because then if you wreck, it's, you know, it's you, the dirt, the bike, whatever, and speed that's, you know, in it. But when you get hit by a vehicle or you wreck on the road, it's a completely different story. So, you
yes,
know.
Yes, they can both be bad, but
yes, start off with the dirt bike. Yeah.
Yes. Start out slow.
Yeah.
Start out slow and easy. Here's an interesting one. Social rejection.
That's not a fun one.
No. And it's, you know, it's something.
I guess that kind of falls under risk taking, huh?
Oh yeah, it is. A lot of these things could be relative to risk taking. Social rejection, you know, I experienced that a lot during my, you know, active addiction, because nobody wanted to be around me. And for good reason. You know, I was really not worth being around. You know, making bad decisions, not showing up when I said I would, you know, just not doing things I thought I should do. And it gets to the point where, you know, it leads to, you know, it can lead to isolation and, you know, just deepening of depression. And there you go. You have one more excuse why, you know, if you had my life, you'd drink like me too. And it's even worse for people who, you know, drinking is one thing. I mean, alcohol is legal and it's everywhere, and a lot of people do it, and a lot more people do it responsibly than irresponsibly, like I did. But then when you get into, you know, the narcotics and other, you know, illegal substances, just the idea that, oh, they're a, you know, meth head, or, you know, they're a heroin addict or whatever, society in general won't even give you a shot. So, you know, the rejection there is insane. But once we get into recovery, we can start rebuilding relationships through people seeing our actions rather than just what we're saying. Mm-hmm. You know, I said a million times, oh, I'm going to quit drinking, or, yeah, I had a bad night last night, and it'll be different this time. And it doesn't come true.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think in our society today, people are pretty pretty positive towards people who are getting a recovery and making those changes, you know? Mm-hmm. I think it's definitely more, you know, overall looked at as a way more positive thing than mm-hmm. it used to be.
Yeah. Right. And you're less likely to isolate.
Yeah.
It's not impossible.
There's a bit less stigma, I think.
Yeah. I was talking with a sponsee today, just before this show, and he's kind of been isolating, hanging out in his apartment, and just not getting out and being around people. And today he just decided, no, I need to get out. So he got out and he got on the bus and went down to the big shopping area. And I said, so are you saying hello to people? And he goes, not really, but people are really saying hello and hi to me. And mm-hmm. so I don't understand it. I'm like, you need to understand it. You need to, you know, reciprocate at a minimum, but, you know, initiate, you know, deal with people. You can meet some interesting people that way.
Mm-hmm. You can. And I think that is one of the parts of what we try to do here, is, you know, getting people together in groups to be able to have conversations together, get to know each other, just have some, you know, time to share about your week or whatever's going on. That togetherness, even when maybe you don't know people outside of here, that's okay, because you never know. Things might grow into friendships and stuff. But at least you can come here and participate and have some time where you're not isolating by yourself.
Yeah,
it can help get you out of your own head and out of your own perspective to hear other people share.
And a funny thing just happened just as I was talking about this person. He was talking, when I was talking to him earlier, he was talking about getting a new phone, and he dinged in my ear. He just got his new phone.
Yeah, I was going to say, I heard something.
So his ears must have been burning.
There we go.
I was talking about him. But yeah, so it's important to get involved with the world again, even though it can be scary for some people. I mean, I understand. It's a big change that people are going through when they get into recovery, and how the world used to react to them is going to weigh heavy on them until they start seeing, or till people around them start seeing the changes and start, you know, interacting with them again. We say in AA that people will notice the change in us before we notice it ourselves, you know. So obviously, you know, a friend of mine has got a little aura going on around him that people are actually mm-hmm. saying hello.
Yeah, that's good.
Which is not normal for him. He spent a lot of years living on the street, and people on the street do not talk to each other unless it's like, can I have a cigarette, or do you know where I can score, sort of thing. Not good. What else is good on here? You had a couple other ones.
I thought my support network was good.
Mm.
And some of the things would be like, you know, your sponsor, your recovery mentor, your recovery coach, trusted friends and family, church family, faith-based support, peers in recovery, counselor, therapist, medical provider, case manager, community resources, different kinds of things like that. And that can look different for everyone. You know, what my support system is different than what your support system is. And that's just kind of, you know, with what what the person needs, what they prefer and stuff like that. So, you know, for everyone who's listening that's, you know, curious about that, you get to make that look like what you need, you know, what all that is. And, you know, so a support network in recovery is, you know, groups of people, places, resources that help you stay grounded, accountable, encourage you as you heal and grow.
Right.
You know?
Right. And, you know, most people think, first thing they think of a support system is family. Well, what if you've alienated family?
Right. That's why it can look different.
Yeah. And it will change too.
Typically it does. Yes.
You know, and early on in my support, you know, my wife would barely have anything to do with me because, you know, of my countless vain attempts at stopping drinking before. Mm-hmm. So it was those people in AA that said, yeah, you're messed up, but, you know, we'll walk alongside you.
Sure.
And do what we can to help you help yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And even in that setting, there was probably only a handful of men that really, you know, bothered to tell me to call them up, you know, when I was feeling sketchy, or would call me up because I didn't make it to a particular meeting. Are you okay?
Yeah,
you know, what's going
on?
How you feeling? And, you know, that's grown into a huge fellowship for me. I tell people I have a ton of numbers on this electronic computer/telephone. And if I were to send an all text to everybody on that list saying help, mm-hmm. the roads coming into Moscow would be clogged with cars because that's how important it is to those people and even to me. You know, I get those texts every once in a while, you know. I think I want to drink or I think I want to kill myself. And I respond, you know, it's kind of, you know, a requirement, but that's not the only place. Sometimes it's just a good friend. You know, I've got a close friend down in California. We've talked to him, Dan, who, will call me up when he needs a little bit of support or has a question. I talked to him today. He, had a fella ask him to sponsor him and he was curious about a couple of different directions the guy wanted to go. He wasn't sure if he wanted to do the 12 steps through the AA program or the 12 steps through the CR program. Mm-hmm. And so we talked about it and, you know, talked about which, you know, how to figure out what direction this guy really wanted to go. And yeah, so that's important. It can be one-on-one. It can be a crowd of people. It can be your recovery coach at the Lake Tahoe Recovery Center, like Miss Denise.
Yep, me and Sean and Dina, all of our services are free. So, I mean, I did want to mention something that I thought about earlier this week. Sorry to interrupt.
Sure, go ahead.
Is this, so I realized that sometimes people may not realize that if you have a past of, you know, struggling with drinking or different kinds of substances or mental health, and you're doing great today, our resources are still here for you. Mm-hmm. And our coaching is still here for you and it's free.
Right.
You know, I mean, as human beings and especially people in recovery, like we don't need to do life alone. You don't have to be, you know, struggling and using to be able to come in and talk with us and work on things, you know,
right.
and attend things. So it's really, just kind of wanted to put that out there to remind everyone.
Well, yeah.
You know, it could have been 10, 20 years ago that you struggled with stuff. Could be 30 or 40. That's okay.
Right. Or it could be today.
Right, exactly.
In AA, we talk about sharing the message with the still struggling alcoholic. That doesn't necessarily mean person who's still drinking.
Right.
That could be the guy who's having an issue with the child, having an issue at work, an issue with somebody else in AA. We need to, you know, be able to talk to somebody about what's going on, what our struggles are. You know, I've been doing this AA program for like 30 years, and I talked to a fellow who I haven't talked to in a few years, and he said, are you still doing that AA thing? And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm still doing it. He goes, oh man, you've been doing it a long time. I go, yeah, it's been like 30 years. And he's like, aren't you cured yet? And I had to point out the fact that, you know, I only get a daily reprieve based on, you know, maintenance of my spiritual condition. But I can suffer. I can still have issues that I'm not sure how to deal with. And, you know, my higher power keeps me on a need to know just in time sort of basis situation. So, you know, there are times where I ask for help and I hear crickets, which tells me the answer is wait, more will be revealed. And then I'll go into a an AA meeting and I'll hear something that answers that question. You know, it's a story I've told before. I was struggling with a really big decision in my life. And I finally, you know, I would talk to my wife about it. And I finally, it was driving me so crazy. I just like, I'm just going to go quietly meditate in my room, which means take a nap. And, you know, and I went in my room and I just said, okay, God, I'm out of ideas. You know, help me out here. And 15 minutes later, my wife came in and said, hey, what about this? And that was the answer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't get the burning bush on the mountain thing with God, but I'll hear it from Denise. I'll hear it from one of my fellows in AA. I'll hear it from my wife. Although when she says it, for some reason, it doesn't sound as good. But nonetheless.
Good advice is still good advice.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They do. Or she wouldn't have stuck around with me for this long, I tell you that. So, yeah. So it's not, you know, when your car is running good, it's still a good idea to check the oil and, you know, top it off if it needs it. And in the program of AA, and once I got past the not wanting to drink, once that compulsion was removed from me, that was not the end of my journey. That was just like the start, because alcohol wasn't the problem. There's a guy in my head that wants to kill me, and every day I got to deal with that guy. And, you know, it's like we talked about earlier, learning how to live life on life's terms. So, yeah, I need the support. I still need the support, and I'll need it until they throw dirt on me or put me in the Colonel Sanders bacon shake oven. Colonel Cinders, excuse me.
And I'm a human being, and I like to be around people, and I like to work on different kinds of things. And so where I honestly don't think that using substances will ever be a problem again, but I really do like working on being mindful about how I'm interacting with people and growing and being around other people who are doing that and supporting people who are, you know, struggling with whatever they're struggling with or coming into recovery. That just makes me very happy.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's also a thing. If you reach out to somebody, I know this is true in AA, and I think it's pretty much just universally true. When you reach out to somebody, you're actually making their life a little bit better. Mm-hmm. You're giving them an opportunity to share something with you. And when someone reaches out to me in AA, it's like it's an honor and a privilege. Mm-hmm. And I feel good afterwards. You know, it's like going to an AA meeting. I've never left an AA meeting saying, wow, I really need a drink. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel restored a little bit more. Yeah. So when I get that call at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, hello. And somebody says, yeah, I'm Billy. I'm an alcoholic. I'm like, oh, Billy, yeah, sure, man. How you doing? They're like, did I wake you up? Oh, no. No, I was just sitting here reading. I was waiting for your call, actually. You know, I kind of had a feeling you would call. And in my mind, I'm going, Billy, which one was Billy? I don't remember. Anyway, but yeah, that's my thing. That's what I got to do. And that's what, when you reach out, hopefully that's what you're going to reach.
Exactly.
You're going to reach somebody like that. Mm-hmm. And again,
yeah, so you don't have to do those.
Not just for newcomers anymore.
You don't have to do those hard moments alone. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Right.
And in thinking about it, it's all the other things that I could, all the other stupid choices or the ways that I could react to things that would be upsetting to me. Like if I slid back in like who I am as a person, that would bother me a lot.
Right.
So that's a lot of the reason that I still attend all the things that are helping me, helping support me as I support others and all that kind of stuff to keep me living in the direction I want to go and in my value and things like that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. And, you know, something else just occurred to me too. You know, when we do what we call sponsorship in AA and help people work their way through the 12 steps of recovery, mm-hmm. I will discover things about myself that I need to work on. Somebody will say something, well, right. I did this. And yes. I'm like, oh, yeah, I did that too. And I thought that was okay. No, clearly it's not. I have a new perspective.
On, I know it'll like kind of make something go ding, 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 ding. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. Right. I got to look at that too. We wouldn't normally think of it, but somebody just shared it and we're like, oh, yeah.
somebody else has got that.
Holy Spirit taps you on the shoulder like, I'm like, okay, yep. Yeah. A little conviction. Yep. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe you ought to do a little inner search here.
I mean, it's okay. It's a good thing. Yeah.
That's right. You know what else is a good thing? I forgot to wish you a happy new year.
Yes, happy new year.
We're into 2026 and our what is it, eighth year of doing this? Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Very fun.
Yeah. Quite a blessing.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wake up in the morning like, oh man, I got to do a show today. And then other times I wake up, oh man, I get to do a show today. Yeah. And as I get older, just waking up in the morning is a plus, you know. I'm not quite to the point of looking at the obituaries before I get out of bed, but I still think I'm doing okay.
Well, sometime in the future, the Lord will bring me home and that'll be okay.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Wherever home is, we'll find out, won't we? Well, hey, it's time to shut it down. Yeah. So thanks, Denise. It's wonderful meeting with you again in this new year after our kind of crazy Christmas, New Year break for everybody, but we're here and
I got extra sleep, so I'm good. I got extra cleaning done at my house. I got extra sleep, extra laundry done. I'm pretty happy about that.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so it's all right.
Yeah, getting laundry done is a big one for me. Yeah. I actually enjoy folding clothes.
I do too.
It drives my wife insane. She says, just pile it up, put it in the bag, and bring it to my room.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, I like to just take in the bag, the laundry basket, just dumping it out of my bed. I just stand there, I fold stuff. If I want, I turn the TV on. I'm totally cool with that. Yeah. I don't mind folding.
Yeah.
I think I've had times in my life where I didn't like folding, but I don't mind folding. Plus, it's not like it's like a million like baby things where they're just itty bitty teeny tiny, which actually those were cute too. A little harder though, but they were cute. Yeah. It's all, you know, adult size stuff now.
Right. Right. And
for me, we're a house of short people, but still.
Yeah. You get in a rhythm and you just kind of do the thing and you're where your hands are and serene and it's great.
Yeah. Just got to keep up on it. Oh, I will say this. If it's like 10 loads of laundry, it's a whole different story. Right, I only do like maybe three or four for the entire week for all three of us.
Right.
So it's not that bad.
Right.
But if it were like huge amounts,
right,
then that may not be so fun.
Right.
That might be a little overwhelming.
Exactly. It's all a matter of perspective. Here we go again.
Yes. And Johnny, do you remember what our new closing is that we talked about a couple of weeks ago or a week ago? Do you remember?
No, I don't. I remember talking about it.
Yes, me too. And I'm trying to remember now. It's like if you think you have a problem, you do. And then you should come in and talk to Sean or Denise at the recovery center.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go.
So we've got a new one to start the new year.
Right.
Take it away, Johnny.
All right. Well, you know, if you think you have a problem with substances or behavioral health problems, you do. And you should probably stop into the LRC and talk to Denise or Sean or one of the other helpful people here and get work through it.
All right. I love it. Thank you all for listening today and joining us.